Okay, so we're going to start Sadi Beis Sifhei. It's really a stickle new part of the Simen, a new Inyan. But it's very connected, all these Sodas from before. Okay? So, this Sif is based on what we learned before, the fundamentals of Hanan. So what's the fundamental of Hanan? That when you have a Tipas Cholov, then you cannot... It really depends, right? The whole sugya of Rashi and Tosis, half in, half out, that we spend time on, what's the whole principle over there? So you have a tipas chalav, and it goes through the chaticha into the kedera. So what's the whole sugya based on? The sugya is based on, how do we look at it? Do we look at it like the tipa went straight through the chaticha into the right dave, and therefore you could use the right dave to be mevatel? And the chaticha's mutter. Everything's mutter, because the tipa went in one pipua, in one koyach, straight through the chaticha into the right. Or do we look at it like, no, it's two koyches. It first lands in the meat, it asers the meat. Now that it asers the meat, you made chanan. Now that you made chanan, now you have a much bigger iser, right? And now you need, now that whole iser is going to go in a secondary koyach, shtei koyach into the soup. Right? So that you now you made chanan, right? We said the same things by Yisro Dovuk like that. That if it's here specifically, fine. So that's the concept of chanan, and that's the difference of how you look at the flow of the blia. Does the blia go straight, stop, park, aser the area it's in, and then go further in a second koyach, or did it go straight through? In which case, you wouldn't say chanan, and you would only need 60 against the tipas chalav, right? That was the whole sugi from before. But that was a sugya of you have a chaticha and soup. And the question is, what's the relationship of the blia through the chaticha into the soup? One pipua, two pipuas, fine. Now, we're asking now the Rishonim want to know, how are you going to deal with that with a kedera? Okay, now what's the case? The case is a very common case that you could have a kedera cooking, a kedera chalon pot cooking, a chicken soup cooking, and on the outside of the kedera, a tipas chalav falls in on the back of the kedera. You're mixing your baby bottle. I'm saying that case because it's happened before. People call it up. You're mixing the baby bottle and bam, milk splashes onto the side. You're cooking, while your chicken soup is cooking, you're cooking up some macaroni and cheese or something, and bam, it splatters onto the side of the pot. Right? So now, so what's the halacha? So it's really going to boil down to this shaila, okay, of how we look at it. But I want to be mocked in one thing, which is very important. And that is that the same that a pot, we consider it that it's full of blias. So if a pot is full of blias, those blias, let's say it's a fleshiga pot, so it's full of fleshiga blias. Those blias are just like a piece of meat, right? So you can aser the blias in the pot also. So if milk would go into the blias of the pot, so now you would say that all the blias in the pot are also are basar b'chalav dika blias. And now it would be a treif pot. And then it's like cooking with a treif pot. Okay, so you have to, there's always, when we're dealing with this shaila of the pot, just like in the case of the chaticha, we had two shailas, the chaticha and the soup. Yeah, and then the question is, okay, is the soup motor, even after the soup motor, do you have to throw out the piece, right? Because there's two entities. So really, we have to, when we're looking at it with a soup and a pot, it's also like that. That the pot is also a separate entity, really, and we have to don the pot separately. Is the flavor in the pot going to become assured independently of the soup? And how are we going to deal with the flavor in the pot? Okay? Now, there's a yisoid that we have to keep in mind when to use it, but I'm just going to throw it out there. Truma Sedeshin has a yisoid. And the Truma Sedeshin's yisoid is that the blias in the pot are called mekusher, are connected with the soup in the pot. So for example, just like when you say, you have a big pot of soup, and a tipas chalav falls in on one area of the soup, you don't say, well, it only asked this part of the soup. You know, it didn't ask for the rest of the soup. Obviously you don't say that. Why? Because all the liquid is connected. So the Truma Sedeshin says that the liquid in the pot is connected also, to a certain degree, with the blias in the pot also. It's like part of the soup. To a certain degree.
Is that what allows the tip that falls on the outside to go straight?
Maybe. So it's connected to a certain degree. Not always, but there is times when we're going to use that principle. Not always. Okay. So based on this principle, the Rishonim have basically two mahalchim and there's many Mahalchim within the two Mahalchim. Okay, so how to deal with this? So there's machlokes between the Maharami Rutenberg and the Smak. How to look at a case when you have a tipas chalav falling in to a on the backside of a pot. Okay, so there's going to be a machlokes between the Maharam and the Smak, and then we're going to have about three shitas how to learn the Smak himself. We're going to have the Taz, the Shach, the Beis Yosef, and maybe the Chazon Ish is going to help us, the Chavos Das and the Chazon Ish. Okay. So, let's start with the Maharam. Although I'm being mocked in the Maharam because it's Geshmak, and the Torah brings it, but we don't pass like the Maharam in Rutenberg. Okay? But I'm going to be mocked in the Maharam in Rutenberg Shita because the Yisoidus that he says there are very important. So the Maharam in Rutenberg says like this, that if the tipa falls anywhere on the pot, then we don't know how far the tipa goes, and we don't know really where it goes. So we have to assume that a pot is similar to a chaticha, okay? Let's say like Tosfos, to a chaticha, like Rashi, I should say, or let's like Tosfos, to a chaticha, which is totally out of the roitev. Now let's say like Rashi, it's more simple. Like Rashi, we said like a chaticha, half in, half out. What did we say in Rashi? That a chaticha half in, half out. First, the blia asers the chaticha. Possible chalav. Now, the whole chaticha goes in and asers the thing, and you need shishim keneged the part of the chaticha that was out of the roitev, right? That was Rashi. So the Maram says a pot is the same thing. That the way a blia affects the pot is in two steps. First, the blia goes into the pot. And it does its business with the pot. It ossers up all the flavor in the pot. Now you have a treif pot. And then the treif pot will go ahead. Now you're cooking with the treif pot. And the treif pot now ossers the soup. Okay? So now you'll tell me, fine, so does the whole soup come treif? Because I will tell you a yisoid that if anyone is a math expert, they could choose to try to figure it out. But there's a yisoid that the Beis Yosef says that the inside contents of a pot, inside contents of a pot never have shishim against the blias in the sides. We have to assume that the inside of the pot will not have shishim against the walls.
I mean, the walls will always be bigger than...
More than 1/60th. Right. In other words, the maximum that a pot contains, it's 59 times the volume of the walls. It will never contain 60. So if you have a treif pot that's full of treif chazer blias, and you cooked in a soup, and you call up the Rav, and the Rav's going to say, well, is there 60 times? Well, I don't know, let's measure. No, no. Beis Yosef says there's no 60 times. So that means that a treif pot will always make whatever's inside of a treif. So therefore, the Torah brings down one shita, that if the milk falls on the side of the pot, it made the pot treif, and now it's like you're cooking with a treif pot, and everything's treif. So from that one tipa, you treifened up the whole pot, and then after you treifened up the whole pot, that pot now treifened up the soup.
Assuming that there's not 60
pots. So, but then he says, but one second, really we have to make a better cheshbon, because that's assuming we don't know really how much milk fell onto the side of the pot. We don't know how much. Maybe a lot of milk fell, you know. We don't know. So since you don't know, you have to assume it was enough to treifen up the entire pot. And once it's enough to treifen up the entire pot, now that pot goes and goes ahead and treifens up the soup. So from this accident of mixing up your milk, you're going to end up treifening up the whole soup. Maharam Rutenberg says, that's okay, but you have to remember that doesn't always work. You have to work out a mathematical cheshbon. Because let's say you saw how much milk fell onto the side of the pot, right? You're mixing your bottle, a little milk, you're cooking up a milk soup, and it splatters onto the side of the pot. If you saw how much, Rabbi, it was one tipa. Okay, so the Maram, but how much are you cooking in there? Well, not that much. My chicken soup, it was just me and my wife, we're cooking a little chicken soup, whatever, not major. But. So the Maram says, the cheshbon is that you need 60 times 60, which is 3,600, right? 3,600 against the tipa. So where is this coming from? He says, very possible. The most the tipa could asser in the pot is up to 60 times itself. Because let's say the tipa, we don't know how far a tipa could spread in a pot, but assuming it could spread, if it spread all the way around the whole pot, is the pot alser? No, pungfa carrot, because now that the tipa spread around the whole pot, it became batal. Because there's more than 60 tipas in the volume, in the bliyas of the pot. But you know what the tzad iser is? The tzad iser is maybe fakaret. Maybe what happened is that the tipa spread a little bit, not around the whole pot. Maybe it only spread, we'll take a little, the volume of the tipa, make a little line of 60 times the tipa. And then that will be the radius of your circle. And you make a circle with the tipa in the middle. The radius of the circle is 60 times the tipa. If the tipa went in that area, it could be an asard, the flavor.
Because it's on the outside?
The tipa's on the outside. But where? How much did it go into the pot? Did it go around the whole pot? If it went around the whole pot, it's motor. If it went only a little bit, the most it could have asard is 59 times, up to 60 times itself. So if it asard up to 60 times itself, how much, let's say, for example, it's 1 milliliter, this tipa. So how much at most basar could have become basar b'chalav from this tipa? 59.9 milliliters. So at most, how much do you have? Let's call it round number, 60 milliliters of basar b'chalav, right? So in the pot, you now need 60 times 60. So if you have 60 times 60, you're for sure good. Because we don't know where the bliya goes, but if the tipa went around the whole pot, the tipa became batal in the pot. And if the tipa didn't go around the whole pot, it went around part of the pot, then most it could have asered is 59 times itself. So therefore, you only have 60 times the tipa of treif in the pot, and therefore, inside the pot has to be mevatal what's treif on the walls, and 60 times 60, you'll be good. So this is the Maharam Yurtenberg's cheshbon. Okay?
Why is it more strict than if you drop it right in the pot?
Okay, very good, because the same way that if you drop it right into the pot, it spreads equally into the whole pot, and you use the whole pot and it's batal. But we learned before that if you drop it onto a piece of meat outside the pot, that becomes more strict, right? Because now it's limited to the meat, and then from there it will go in. So the pot is the same way. First it asters the pot. Very good, right? It ends up being, like he's saying, that dropping it into the pot is more strict than if you dropped it into the soup itself. Because if you dropped it into the pot, it could be an asr first, the pot, and then into the soup. Okay, so that's Maharam Yurtenberg's cheshbon. Okay, so if, according to this, it would come out, if you know how much you need 60 times 60 of the tipa. If you don't know how much milk fell, then it would asr everything. So it's very chomer. 60 times 60.
You use the pot itself, the rest of the pot.
That goes into another shayla, that's a tzariches shayla, if you can use the volume of the metal of the pot, mevatel. The point is, you need 60 times 60 of the tipa. Now, the smak argues on this, okay? And this is all based on Gemara and Zvachim. The Gemara and Zvachim basically says, we don't really know how far, all the Gemara and Zvachim pretty much says, we don't know how far bliyas go. But that could mean anything, right? What don't we know? There's something we don't know. Now everyone's like trying to figure out, what did the Gemara think we knew and we don't know? So this is the Maharam Rutenberg says. We don't know if it went around the whole pot or did it go around only up to 60. The smak says differently. Okay? The smak says that there's two scenarios and we're going to be mechalik between the two. Well, let's start with one of them. The smak is much more makel and much more machmer in a way. But if he says that there's a distinction if the bliya fell what's called keneged deraitiv or shaloi keneged deraitiv. Did the bliya fall on the part of the pot that's just liquid, right? The pot is filled up halfway. So did it fall on the bottom half of the pot or on the top half of the pot? If it fell on the bottom half of the pot, says the smak, 100% mutter. No problem.
That's what mechaber says.
And that's mechaber passing like the smak. It's 100% mutter. If it fell on the top, that's a whole other thing. So let's split this up. If it fell on the bottom half of the pot where the liquid is cooking, why does the smak say it's mutter? Right? Why? Well, first of all, doesn't the Gemara say we're not sure? What are we not sure about? Right? The Gemara says we don't know how far it goes. So what's the Gemara not sure about? And what's the pshat in the smak? Now, you could say, who cares what's pshat? He says it's mutter. Well, let's you know, what are we making trouble here? It's going to be a big nafkamina why it's mutter. And we'll see. So let's read the Mechaber inside. The Mechaber says, Tipas Cholov, Sifhei, Shinafla ala Kedera, a Tipas Cholov fell in the pot, She'etzel Aish, it's near the fire, Mibachutz, on the back half of the pot. Im Nafla Kenegeta Tavshil, if the Tipa fell on the bottom half of the pot, where there's liquid, Ein Tzarech, Ela Shishim Kenegeta Tipa. Like you said, it's as if it fell right into the soup, and all you need is 60 against the little drop of milk. Why? Shemifafea lifnim. Because we assume that the tipas chalav goes straight through the pot into the soup. V'havi ki'ilu nafla b'tavshel. And very important three words. It says, if it fell straight into the soup, like you said, why are we making a big deal if it fell in the back of the pot? If it falls into the soup, it will be mutter. So let the worst case scenario say it's like it fell into the soup. Okay? That's what he says. Now, I want to focus on that for a minute. Now, the Ramah at the end of Siv Vav.
Did we see what the Smak says?
This is the Smak. This is quoting the Smak. He doesn't say he's quoting the Smak, but he's quoting the Smak. Okay? So, if you look at the little Yud Beis on the top, it's a Yud Beis that takes you to the Be'er Agoyla. The Be'er Agoyla tells you where the Mechaber is coming from. So he says, Tor B'Shem Smak. Okay? This is the Smak. The Vilna Goyen also does that, but in this case, the Vilna Goyen is like bringing down the entire Sugyan Zvachim with every Rishon, and it's a very, very long Vilna Goyen. So usually the Vilna Goyen will just tell you what sheet it is. In this case, he obviously doesn't like something that's going on here. I don't have a chance to go through the Vilna Goyen this time right now, so I don't really know what he's doing there. But anyway, so what is the, according to the Smak though, what was the suffix of the Gemara? The Gemara says, I'm not sure if this or that, and therefore it's mutter. What's the suffix? So there's going to be a big difference between the Taz and the Shach on this. Okay, it's very interesting. The Taz says the following. He says that there's two choices. But either scenario, it's fine. One case is that a blia that falls on the back of a pot, it doesn't go anywhere. Blias only travel within a pot if they come in from the side that it's cooking and there's a lot of liquid there. If a blia comes in from the back of the pot, it doesn't go anywhere. It stays put. So if it stays put, so it's not ossering the pot, and it will stay there. It's just going to stay in the back of the pot. It's fine. It's not going anywhere. But that's one side. So that's the suffix of the Gemara. Maybe it's not mifafeya. Mifafeya means it travels. It like, I don't know what mifafeya spreads. Okay, good. Mifafeya means it spreads. So either it's not mifafeya at all, it doesn't spread at all, in which case the pot, or it is mifafeya. But if it's mifafeya, you know what happens? It goes straight through the pot into the soup, and now it's like it fell straight into the soup, like you said. So it fell straight into the soup. So he says the smak is very mako on this. So it's either not mifafeya at all, or it's mifafeya straight into the soup. And then everything's mutter. Again, this is all when it fell on the bottom half of the pot. Okay. So there's two tzdadim, mifafeya or eino mifafeya. So both are mutter. If it's mifafeya, it went into the soup. If it's eino mifafeya, if it's not mifafeya, then it just stayed put, it's stationary, it's not going anywhere.
But does that mean it's not missing with the blues and
it's not even making chanan. It's doing nothing. It's staying where it is.
Just because it doesn't oscer that part, or with the 60 times.
Well, who cares what it oscers? It's not going anywhere. So it's not going into the food. You're not eating the pot, right?
But still,
the blia in the pot that's stuck there forever. Who cares?
Hey, but that makum, that place, should make some chanan if the tavshil touches it.
No, but it's not coming out of the walls of the soup. That's what I'm saying. So who cares? Right. What's the nafkamina? So you.
It's never going to come out? Or never come out the other side.
Oh, you want to know what happens if you like touch the back half of the pot again? I don't know. I'm not sure. He's saying that a blia that came in this way is not going out. That's what he's learning.
On the other side.
Yeah. I don't know if it's going out that side either. It's not going out. That's for sure. So, okay.
So
according to this, Zaktataz, the kli itself is kosher.
So
theoretically, you don't have to kasher the kapat, and you could use it again tomorrow, after this incident, because nothing happens. You know what? If it went in, it went in, like the chaticha, the piece of meat, according to Tosfos. If it's half in, half out, it goes straight through. You're allowed to eat the piece of meat too. So if it went straight in, then it's mutter. Outside. If it, and therefore, And if it stayed put, it's not coming out next time either. So that, by the way, that's the Taz in the end of Sifkat on your test. In the long, long Taz there, he says Beferish.
Certainly a thin pot it would be very different than a thick pot.
You're saying in this logic, it would make sense to you to say that it depends how thick the pot is. Maybe it stayed totally to the exterior of the pot. I know, but Chazal don't go into these types of things.
Doesn't the milk get diminished through by its travels? You know that it leaves some maybe
residue
some
behind.
Yeah.
Okay, so that could be, but even on that possibility, well, we'll see about
also,
that.
Also, this is etzel ha'ish.
Yeah, but also maybe the
type on the fire. Or
yeah,
etzel fire?
On the fire. Now, what?
I was going to say also maybe the type of pot, a thin aluminum pot versus let's say a stainless steel pot. And that's also wine, copper wine.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. But for our purposes, we're just going to treat all the pots the same because we have to assume, the Chazal assumed the pots are full of blias, and therefore nowadays we're going to assume they're full of blias also. There are people that always bring this up, like, do pots nowadays really contain flavor and all this type of stuff?
Yeah,
I don't know the answer to that.
Wine.
I don't know the answer to that question. do we consider really that nowadays the pots really contain blias or not? You know, I'm not sure, but we're assuming that we have the same pots as Chazal. Okay? So, but the Shach has a total different understanding over here of the smak. The Shach says, yeah, the two tzdadim. But the two tzdadim are totally different than the two tzdadim of the Taz. The two tzdadim are, one side is that the blia is eino mifafeya. Now remember, what did the Taz mean, Eino Mefafeya? It stays put, it's not going anywhere. He says, no, Eino Mefafeya means it doesn't go into the Kli, but goes straight into the food. Right? So it goes straight into the food, in which case it's Mutter, because it went straight into the food. The other side is, maybe it's Mefafeya, where it's Mefafeya B'chol HaKli. It goes around to the whole Kli. And if it goes around to the whole Kli, then what happens? It becomes Batal B'shishim in the other Bliyas in the Kli. So it's Mefafeya B'chol HaKli. So his tutzdadim are different than the tutzdadim of the Taz. The tutzdadim of the Taz is the opposite. Mifafeya meant it goes into the food. Eino mifafeya means it stays put. The Shach is saying mifafeya means it goes around to the whole kli. But if it goes around to the whole kli, it doesn't matter because it became bottle in the kli. The other side is mifafeya goes straight into the eino mifafeya in the kli. It goes straight into the food. Okay. Now, the question, the thing is that. That according to the Shach, it's not clear. Let's say the Shach is not clear exactly if the what's that?
Yeah.
No, he's going in the smock. You don't. No, in Kineged Ha'Roitev, it's Mutter. That's what he's saying.
Okay, well, it's not Kineged Ha'Roitev.
What? Oh, so this is all Kineged Ha'Roitev. This is all when it's. So they're both saying it's Mutter, but they're saying it's Mutter for different reasons. According to the Shach, there's much more reason to Aser the pot, right? Because. According to the Taz, if it stayed in the pot, it's never coming out. According to the Shach, that wasn't the case, really. So the bli is still there. It's just that maybe it was bottled, but now by you cooking it, you're like using that bittel again. So, or maybe there's a tzad that, well, it was bottled already, right?
Yeah, the only thing Josh is, like the Bach says, that there's no shishim in bli is in the pot, because the bli is going to have what the fire can.
Yeah, okay, we'll have to see about that. Now, what about, this is all Kineged Ha'Roitev, fine. So that's what they're both saying. But they both end up saying it's Mutter. What happens if it falls on the top half of the pot? So they both end up saying it's Mutter. By the way, Balabaisa, even though they're saying that the pot should be Mutter, Lamaisa, the minig is the kasha of the pot.
According to the Shach, if more than a kibba falls, then you're not going to have necessarily. According to the Taz, the bria just stays in the pot, so even if it's... The whole milk bottle, even if it splashes against the side of the pot, it just stays there.
On the right, meaning there's no tzad chumra ever. According to the Shach, if you only...
On the
right, according to the Shach, you'll need shishim against...
In
Right. In other words, he's saying that according to the shach, you'll need shishim in the pot against the amount of chol of the fel. Otherwise, what happens is it will go against the pot. It will make that chanan, and then you'll need and then you'll need shishim, and then it'll chafe up the whole food. Right. That's the big nafkamina, correct. Right. The big nafkamina is that according to the shach, even the tzad that it goes to the kli just means it could become bottle in the kli. But if it's not bottle in the kli,
the shach always goes two steps.
So it will go two steps. It's
that,
just that.
Because we're fair to the whole kli up top.
Now, by the way, when you do have to kasha the spot, like in that case, or if you have to kasha the pot, how do you kasha the spot? So see, you kasha it, you fill it up to hagala. So the Pischei Tshuva brings down that whenever you have to kasha the pot in this sif, you have to kasha from the outside. Because since the treifas came in from the outside, you have to kasha the food from the outside. This is very negiah to hechus kashas. You see from here, big yisoid, that when you have to kasha something, you kasha it from the direction that the food came in. So, the question is, well, for example, not by Libun Gomer maybe, but by Libun Kal. So, Moshe, let's say you have a frying pan. Right, just for argument, just for whatever, so a lady called me up just right before Shabbos, a man actually, that he made an egg with cheese in a fleshik frying pan. So, like, I already threw out the egg, but like, what's the deal with the frying pan? So I'm like, it's the opposite. The egg is fine. The frying pan's the problem, right? Because the egg was the frying pan was in a ben yomis, so it doesn't make the egg. We'll learn about that later. But the frying pan, now, how do you kasha that frying pan?
Depends on the kind of frying pan.
It's pretty much impossible.
If it's a non-stick, it's
impossible. Anyway, otherwise, it's possible. But somebody would say, fine, so turn on, look, kibol kapolte, turn on the fire and put it on the fire again. But that's not true, because the fire now is on the bottom. The food came in from the top. So you can flip it. You have to jump saying, but I don't know if it really gets hot enough.
Huh?
You can get
a
frying
pan to glory.
Why was it used for a few days?
You can get what?
Yeah, it's the glory. You turn it down and soaked up there.
Well, okay, if it gets.
But over here, the bleas came in from the outside. It's not doima. By the case over here, the people's cholesterol fell on the outside of the pot. Over here, the bleas came in because the heat source is the same. The people's cholesterol came in from the regular way of fishing. So I just got to get it to do.
No, but it means, I was saying that the fire has to be where the food is. The Gemara in Pesachim says that also, Memale Gumri, you have to put the coals inside the pot. Yeah, okay, upside down maybe, yeah. Invert the pan. Yeah, okay. Anyway, that was just, that's just not the main point, but. Yeah, Rabbi Provalsky has a yisoid that whenever you say Derech Agav, it's definitely much more interesting than the rest of the shiur. Because if it's interesting enough to say it when it's not off the topic, then it must be very interesting, right? So, like this, but it's an old pen. Now, that's all the halacha. So l'maisa, we're saying that if the tipas chala fill in on the side, it becomes mutter. It's mutter. We're not passing like the Maram that we have to be choshish. It went a little bit. The chashas either went to the whole pan. It went to the whole pot and became bottle, or maybe it went straight in. But we're not choshish like the Maram said. Maybe it only went to 60 times. No, we're not choshish. We're not choshish that the bliya went a little bit in the pot. But that's all changes now if it fell. Shaloi kineged the right. If it fell in the top half of the pot, all of a sudden the halacha becomes different. What's the tzad? Because now there's no tzad that the bliya went straight into the food. The food's not there. So what's the concern? That maybe it was mefafeya in the pot. In the pot. But hello, didn't we say before that if it's mefafeya in the pot, it's bottle in the bliya's of the pot? Here all of a sudden the shach says, what the chavadas asks on the shach, but basically, no, here's a new concern. That maybe the bliya was mefafeya in the miktsas of the pot, and it trafened up to 60 times itself, and therefore the top half of the pot is traf. So you'll have a scenario where the top half of the pot is traf and the bottom half of the pot is kosher. So, because if it went further than that, it will taka become bottle. Okay? So now the top half of the pot is treif, and up to 60 times the volume of the teepah, and the bottom half of the pot is kosher. So that's how, that's what he says.
If the top half is not shishim,
we're choshish that maybe the blia only went to shishim times itself.
In the top of the pot.
In the top, right.
On the side of the splash.
Yeah, so that's the Chavaz Das's kasha. Didn't the Chashach himself say we're not concerned with that? We're either concerned that it went straight in or went all the way around. Why all of a sudden now does he have a new concern that maybe it only went to 60 times itself? It can't go straight. So good, but on the tzad it's mefafeh b'kli. So it went around to the whole kli. So obviously the idea is that somehow when the reitiv is not being mamshechit, so now it's like trying to get into the reitiv and it doesn't, so it spreads out into the pot and it's also 60 times 60. So 60 times itself. So that's why he says we have to wait for the pot to cool off and then you can take it out, but you have no way of accessing the food. The tour brings down its side, maybe can you make a hole in the bottom of the pot and let everything drip out from the bottom. This way the top half of the pot stays treif. But he says, what? So he says you're afraid that if you touch it, when you put the ladle in, it's gonna raise up the volume of the pot. And that's gonna touch the pot part of the pot that's chafed. Use what?
A siphon or a wet pack.
Yeah. Okay. I think people would rather have cold soup than soup that you... Right? The whole shaila is, you can't let the soup cool off, because who's going to want cold soup? I'm not sure anyone wants the soup that you wet back out either. So, okay. Now, that's what it says. Okay, that sounds like, logical. But the thing is that the Rabbah here says something very interesting. So the Ramah says this whole sugya v'dafka imakderi yeshana, aval im hi chadasha. If it's a new pot that was never used before, then b'kol inyan ain't tzarich shishim rak neged atipa shenafal aleha. If it's a brand new pot, then even if it fell on top, it's not a problem. All you need is 60 times the tipa. If it's a brand new pot, why? Because this whole concept is assuming that there's old flavor in the pot, there's old bleas in the pot, and the chalav coming in will aser those bleas. But if there's no bleas in the pot, so what's it going to aser? So the tipa is going to be there all lonely inside the metal, but it's not going to aser anything, so at most you have the tipa. So nothing's going to, it's never going to aser any food, and therefore if, let's say, you poured it out, as long as you have 60 times in the soup against the tipa, it's fine. So here is the bikasha, the oil was asking on Shabbos. It's an obvious question, and the Shach really asks it in Sivkatam Chav Gimel. What do you mean if it's a brand new pot, there's no bleas? But what about what? Yeah, what about the bleas that you're using now? You're cooking in it now. So if you're cooking in it now, what?
Maybe it's negative
reikon. Right, but it is negative reikon, but still, Lemaisa, you're cooking in it now, no?
The bleas are in
the
pot.
Where the
soup is, no?
So there's a few pshatim here. So what about the bleas in this? So one pshat is what you're saying, more or less, is that what he's saying is that if there's never any old bleas in it, so most of there's new bleas, the bleas that you're using now. So the bleas that you're using now, mimanoshach, if you hold that they go up, then you're going to assume that this blea goes down, it's going to have the same thing as kenegat a reitiv. So mimanoshach. If the bleas go up, the current bleas are up there, so then how'd they get up there? Oh, because even the bleas don't just stay opposite where they are. The bleas go and travel through the whole pot. So if that's true, so the blea coming from the outside, shalai kenegat the roitiv, is also going to travel all the way through and into the roitiv, and therefore it's going to be mutter anyway. How's that? So that's one pshat, that it's also mimanoshach. But the Chazon Ish says a different pshat. It's a very interesting pshat. He says that the blea, like we said before, we threw in a concept of mekusher, that there's a concept that the bleas that are going into a pot are really still connected with the bleas that are in the pot. He said, but that's only the bleas of right now. The old bleas are not mekusher with what's in the pot. Two separate cheshbonos. But the bleas that are going in now, because the bleas that are going in right now, that we're going to assume is mekusher. So he says like this. he says that when the chalav falls on the top of the pot, if there's old blias there, it could asa those old blias, and those old blias will become chanan, and you'll need, it will asa the pot. But if there's only new blias, so legabi the new blias, then you say, oh, those blias, one second, you can't asa those blias independently of what's in the pot, because it's all part of what's in the pot. So you have to, anyway, if there's 60 times, right? Just like, I'll give you an example. Let's say you're pouring on the side of a pot. And right here, here's a pot. Right here, there's a spot of treif. Right here, there's a spot of treif. And you pour down, right? Something. And it's touching the treif part. Do you say, well, if it asers, and asks what passed over it? Or do you say no? Since what passed over it is really connected with everything before, everything on top, so you use all the liquid on the panel to be mevatel it. So as long as there's 60 times all the liquid together, you don't just say, well, you look at that little spot, right? So the Chazon Ish says that the blias that are going in now are still mekusher with the blias that are in the pot. So therefore, you can't ask for the blias in the pot separately from the blias inside the pot versus with the blias in the doifin of the kedera. So memela, if there's old blias in there, so you can ask for the old blias, but the new blias you can't ask for. It's very very interesting.
So you could have with an old pot, you could have a
scenario,
a separation between the wall and the food inside.
Right, correct.
Shrinking with a chadasha.
Yeah.
You have
well, yishana, yeah. Oh, chadasha, yeah.
Chadasha, then they will. Whatever's going to happen to the soup inside is going to. Same thing's going to happen to the wall.
Yeah, we're
going to
consider it one big pile, one big unit of liquid, and therefore, as long as there's shishim in this whole unit of whatever's in the walls together, what's in the pot, whatever, that's all one big unit, and you're going to calculate the 60 of all of it together. It's only the old blias that are not going to be like that.
Don't the old blias now, when it's being cooked to the new ones, turn into new blias?
He's saying that's not the way it works. That's his chiddush to explain this Ramah, because otherwise the Ramah is talk of very weird. Okay, so lemaisa halacha lemaisa. Just by the way, even though in Shulchan Aruch it says that we're makel, it's just very interesting, right? That if it fell, I think most people logically would think the opposite. If you would ask someone, what's worse, if it fell where the food is or if it fell on top of the food? You would say, oh, of course, where the food is a lot worse. It comes down not like that. If it fell where the food is, no problem, everything's motor. The pot, machoikes, kasher, lechumra, whatever, but if it fell on top, the pot is zikr treif. And our minig is that we're really, because we're concerned that even that maybe the pot boiled up a little bit. Maybe the level of the pot doesn't stay the same the whole time. Maybe it boiled over that line, and maybe it did touch the side, maybe it did become treif. We really were noyig to asar all the food. I think that lemais and lahalacha were noyig that v'noigwa oilam tzivav, v'noigwa oilam lesar, kishinafla la doifin shaloike negadaritiv. Mr. Our minig is that we asked it, even shalik and get right.
Even if it gets cold and everything? Even if it's,
what?
Even if you wait till it gets cold and you pour it out?
Yeah, it's not mikra din if there's, you know, like, but that's the minig. V'dafka kishnoif v'boyis etzad she'eno k'neged ha'esh. Av emnofa k'neged ha'esh moto she'esh sar from yafsha. There's a tzad that if it fell mamash where the fire is there, maybe the power of the fire is there to burn out the milk. Wouldn't apply there. So al kaponim la halacha, we're machmer no matter what. Okay?
Wait, do you mean like it doesn't matter whether it's above or below the water line?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. Below the water line, it's takamuta.
Okay, but you're only above, you're saying.
Right. But shaloi keneged the raitiv, even though you have a cool of letting it cool off, that we're not gonna be saimachan. But if it fell connected to the right tip and it's one tipa, we're going to say it's mutter. But big enough is what you're saying. Let's say a lot fell, that would talk would be a problem. If a lot of milk fell on the side, that would talk would be a problem. Okay, so this brings together a whole bunch of different concepts. So I don't know if we'll continue with, Sif Hei and Vav to go together, or we're going to start Sif Zayin. Okay, I have a question. If...